Well, I appreciate the Lord's presence in the services today, this morning, and Sunday school, and the morning worship hour, and then tonight. I appreciate the good singing. I tell you, that's some of the best singing you'll ever hear, and I appreciate that, and the touch of God on it. That's what makes it, and I appreciate that. I take the Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 9, and we'll look at... starting verse 20 down through verse 25. If you would, let's stand together in reverence to the Word of God tonight. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse number 20 and down through verse number 25. And it's talking about Paul. He's now preaching, been saved and baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And verse number 20, the Bible says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to bow our heads, Lord, and say thank you for Jesus. Thank you for grace. Thank you, Lord, that song that they just sang is real in our heart tonight. That, Lord, no matter what we face as a child of God, Lord, that we have peace down deep in our heart. And your grace is always sufficient, Lord. Paul prayed three times for you to remove some ailment in his body. But you told him that your grace would be sufficient. You didn't answer that prayer, but you fulfilled your promise. God, you gave him grace. And I'm glad the Word of God said that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And tonight, God, we thank you for that grace. Thank you that it abounds tonight. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. God, I pray that you'd make the Scriptures come alive to us tonight. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God would move in this service. Lord, we long to see somebody get saved by the grace of God. But we long, God, for your children to be strengthened. And I pray, dear God, that you would even strengthen me as I preach tonight. God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would speak to my heart tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give us manna from on high tonight. God, as we pull up to your table tonight, I pray that you'd feed us, God, and give us what we stand in need of. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Now, Paul has just gotten saved, and if you know anything about the life of Paul, Paul was a persecutor of Christians. And on the day that he got saved, he was on his way to get letters so that he could persecute some more Christians. And most likely the Christians that knew about Paul probably had the idea about Paul that there's no hope for this individual. In fact, if you'll look there in verse number 13, the Lord is telling Ananias that he's sending Saul of Tarsus in verse 11. And for behold, he prayeth the last part of that verse. And told Ananias, then verse 13, "Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." In other words, Ananias didn't want to have nothing to do with this fellow. In other words, Ananias, his idea of Saul was that there's no hope for this man. And there's probably some of you sitting here tonight before you got saved. There's some folks that said that about you. He'll never amount to anything. Or she'll never amount to anything. They didn't consider the grace of God that would come into your life one day, and the Holy Spirit of God that would come by your way, knock on your heart's door one day, and show you a Savior that died on an old rugged cross, shed His blood that you might be saved and be born again by the wonderful grace of God. And you repented of your sins, and God saved you, and He changed your life. And He left a whole lot of people that knew you scratching their heads, wondering what happened to that fella. And you might be here tonight. I remember I told the story in the Sunday school class and played the tape of Dr. Seidler preaching that message and telling about that woman from up around Greensboro area that wrote him a letter one time and been hearing him preach on the radio, and she wrote him a letter. And she said, the wickedness that I've been involved in and the filthiness of my life, said, I hesitated to write you a letter because I didn't want you to handle the same paper that I handled. And she wrote him a letter and said, I've been hearing you preach on the radio, and I just wondered, is there any hope for me? Hey, Dr. Seidler said he sat down in his desk and he wrote that lady a letter and said, there's a balm in Gilead. Hey, there's a sympathizing Savior. Thank God there's a... God still saves old sinners. God saved Saul. I mean a wicked man. A wicked man. But God saved him by His marvelous grace and just erased his past. Thank God, as a child of God, I don't have a past, but I've got a wonderful future because I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Ananias changed his mind. But verse 15, he said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Boy, isn't that something? A man that was a wicked man, a persecutor of Christians, and look what the Lord said about him. He is a chosen vessel. And my brother, he grew up all of his life hearing, you know, why can't you be like your brother Ben? He just grew up hearing that. And that hurt him. He would hear from time to time, you know, you'll never amount to anything. He dropped out of high school, got on drugs and alcohol, life in a mess. And I was in the military at that time. I took him to live with me. I came home one weekend and he didn't have very much. He couldn't hold a job. He was a human parasite. That's basically what he was. And I took him to live with me, and he stayed with me for several months. And one night, he got under Holy Ghost conviction. Anybody in here knows what that's like? He got under Holy Ghost conviction. He said, Ben, I've done everything that everybody's told me to do. He said, none of it's worked. Fact is, at Tabernacle, Sammy Allen was preaching a revival at Tabernacle one night, and during the invitation, Sammy Allen went down there. My brother was sitting about three rows back. Sammy Allen went down there and got him and brought him to the altar. He made a profession of faith. Sammy Allen got you in the headlock in the altar. You going to pray something. I mean, and he prayed for my sisters. He prayed for Sammy Allen. He prayed for this one. But he'd never repented of his sins. And that night, I can remember just as clear as it was yesterday. I was playing a song. My sister, Lynn, was singing Wonderful Peace. Wonderful Peace. And my brother realized he didn't have that wonderful peace. And he got under conviction. And I said, look here, you're not going to play games with God with me. And I walked off from him. And I went out the side, the back door of the house, and here he come right behind me, just squalling like a baby. We walked all the way around that house and come in the front door. There he was right behind me. And I said, if you really mean business with God and you really want to get saved, I said, God will save you. He said, I want to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. And we knelt down in my living room right there beside my, right in front of my couch. And my brother Wayne got saved by the grace of God. His wife teaches school up here in the Christian school. And God saved him. I'm talking about God's grace. The miracle working grace of God saved him and changed his life. And I'm preaching to a bunch of old sinners. They got saved by the grace of God. Thank God. And old Paul, he gets filled with the Spirit of God in verse 17. And gets baptized in verses 18 and 19. And then verse 20, we started reading there. He starts preaching the Word of God. What about that? Went from being a persecutor of Christians to preaching the Word of God. And God's power was on him. The touch of God was on him. In fact, God used him to write most of the New Testament. From the Pauline epistles, I call it the pistols. I like to keep one close by. But I like him epistles too. They make up most of the New Testament. What about that? Somebody that everybody thought would never amount to anything, God used him to write most of the New Testament. And we find him here, he starts preaching. And the Jews didn't like it. Verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. You know, every man of God, every man of God's got a target on his back. And his family got a target on their back. And the devil's out to get them. And the devil will do everything he can to stop a true man of God. To stop him, slow him down, hinder him, sidetrack him, get him off the main thing. I mean, the devil, they're walking around with a target on their back, and their whole family is. That's the way it was with Saul. Had a target on his back. They wanted to kill him. Boy, I like verse number 25. It says, then the disciples took him by night. They loved him. They loved hearing him preach. Some of them got saved under his preaching. And they loved the man of God. They wanted to take care of the man of God. And it says here, and they let him down by the wall in a basket and allowed Saul to escape. I want to preach a message tonight entitled this, Holding the Ropes for the Man of God. That's where I want to be. I want to be holding the ropes for the man of God. Now, there's a whole lot of you here tonight that down through the years, in fact, Preacher Stewart had those of you that were here when he came to stand this morning, and you stood. And as I looked at you, I thank God for you. I praise God for you. Down through these 25 years, you've been holding the ropes for the man of God. Just like these men did, as they let Paul down that wall in a basket, they were holding on to the ropes, and they let him down. I want to say thank God for you. And I want to tell you tonight, I want to encourage you, those of you that are holding the ropes for the man of God, I want you to keep on holding them. I don't want you to let go of the ropes because, you see, the man of God needs you. He needs you holding those ropes for him so that he can carry on the work that God has called him to do. That's what has made Gateway Baptist Church a great church. Number one is the power of God. But number two, it's people that have been willing to grab hold of the ropes and hold on to the ropes for the man of God. And I want to say thank God for you. You know, the general up at the Pentagon giving out orders, he wouldn't be worth anything if he didn't have some soldiers out there sleeping in tents that could carry out them orders. And the pastor, he's a great man of God. He's my favorite pastor. He's my pastor. And I love him. I love him. And he's a great man of God. And he's been greatly used of God. And doors have been opened for my family because he's got a good name. I can just call a preacher and mention that my pastor is Ray Stewart, and I've had him give me beatings just because that man right there is my pastor. And I thank God for him. God has used him to be a great leader. But Pastor Stewart couldn't do it without you that have been holding the ropes. And I want to encourage you, hold on to the ropes. Hey, this thing's not over with yet. The trumpet's going to sound one of these days. Jesus is going to sound, the Gabriel's going to sound that trumpet. Jesus is going to call us up in the rapture. And we're going to go out of here. When that happens, we can let go of the ropes. But until Jesus comes, we need to keep holding the ropes for the glory of God. Now I want to encourage you in this message tonight that are not holding the ropes, or maybe you used to be holding the ropes, but something tripped you up along the way. Something made you stumble, and maybe you're not where you once were, and maybe you're not holding on to the ropes tonight. I want to encourage you, grab a hold of the rope. Join in with us. We're having a great time hanging on to these ropes. Boy, I'll tell you what. We had a good time this morning. I'm looking forward to a good time tonight. We love holding on to them ropes around the Gateway Baptist Church. And I want to encourage you. If you've let go of your rope, you get in this old-fashioned altar tonight and let God do a work in your heart, grab a hold of that rope and hold on to it till Jesus comes. The special forces have a motto that we're never out of the fight. Never out of the fight. That's their motto. Never out of the fight. I mean, they can be wounded. Most real soldiers that you find, when you find them dead, they've used up all their ammunition. I read about one that he'd used up all of his ammunition, and he was fixing to put in his last magazine when he died. And that's how they found him. They found him trying to put in his last magazine so he could pull the trigger one more time. Never out of the fight. I think that'd be a good motto for the members of Gateway Baptist Church. Hey, we're never out of the fight. We're going to hold on. We're going to grab a hold of those ropes and hold on to those ropes till Jesus comes. I know times are hard. I heard one man of God say that you can't hardly get anybody interested in the things of God anymore. But it don't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. I know that we're living in the last days, but we don't have to act like we're living in the last days. I mean, there's still plenty of grace. There's still plenty of glory. And there's still plenty of good times for the child of God left before Jesus comes. And I tell you what, I want to be found, when Jesus comes, I want to be found praising Him, don't you? And not only do I want to be found praising Him, but I want Him to find me holding on to a rope somewhere for a man of God. Lou Gehrig, a famous baseball player, Major League Baseball player, played over 2,000 games and never missed a game. I mean, he still holds the record as far as we know. Is that right, Aaron? Aaron's my statistician. Lou Gehrig holds the record for playing the most consecutive Major League Baseball games. And when he finished playing his 2,000th game, They took him to get him examined to find out what his secret was to his stamina. And when they examined him, they found bones that had been broken. They found bones in his hand that had been broken, that he had not sought medical attention. He had not got them set properly. They just healed on their own. In other words, Lou Gehrig, a baseball player now, played games with broken bones. You think about that. Now, if a baseball player can play a baseball game with broken hands, I mean, if he can play hurt, then I think the child of God, we that sing victory in Jesus, I'm on the winning side. I sing the wondrous story, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Hey, if a baseball player can play with broken bones, I think the child of God can hold on to the ropes till Jesus comes. Well, hey, we ought to be willing and able to play hurt if we have to. Just stay in the fight. We're never, never out of the fight. Hold the ropes, holding the ropes for the man of God. The first one I want to talk about is prayer. Holding the rope of prayer. Look at Acts chapter number 12. Turn over there. Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 17. It's talking about Peter in verse number 5. It said, Peter therefore was kept in prison. Now, old Herod had already killed James, the brother John. We see that in verse 2. And verse 3, he wants to get Peter also. So he puts him in prison, verse 4, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but notice this, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. In other words, the church got together and held an old-fashioned cottage prayer meeting. You don't hear much about old-fashioned cottage prayer meetings anymore because most of them turned into gossip sessions and preachers had to shut them down. But I remember as a boy having cottage prayer meeting at the house, and we'd have somebody preach and we would pray. Fact is, I remember growing up as a boy when you went to visit somebody, before you left, you had a word of prayer. I think that'd be a good practice to be in today. Just start that up. When you go visit somebody, when you leave the house, just stop them and say, let's have a word of prayer. That might be a good testimony to somebody. And it'll humble you too, especially with your lost loved ones. Let's have a word of prayer. Just thank God for His goodness. But here, the church met and says, without ceasing, the church prayed unto God for him. Their man of God was in jail, and they had an old-fashioned prayer meeting, and they prayed. And look what happened. And said, verse number 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. He wasn't worried about much, was he? Bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. The angel had to wake him up and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and his chains fell from off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true. He thought he was having a dream, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he was having a dream. Verse number 10, verse number 11, let's hurry this thing up. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And then he went and showed himself. A girl named Rhoda came. He was knocking at the gate, and Rhoda came, and she went back in and said, "Hey, Peter's at the gate." And they said, "Oh, you see, he's that's his ghost. you crazy." But he kept knocking, and finally they went out there, and they saw that God had answered their prayer. You'll never know how many times you've prayed this man of God out of harm's way by kneeling in your place of prayer and praying for him like the church did for Peter. I say, church, tonight we need to have a revival of holding the rope of prayer for the man of God. There's a big old target on his back. The devil would like to take him down. But I want to see him keep on going for the glory of God, don't you? And we need to pray for the man of God. Number two, we need to hold the rope of pastoral leadership. Hold the rope of pastoral leadership. And I want to thank you, Gateway Baptist Church. You honor your pastor And that's a blessing. That's a blessing for people to honor the man of God. But in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And so we need to hold the rope of pastoral leadership. You know, I graduated from Bible college in 1988, and I came here right out of Bible college. I mean, wet behind the ears, green as could be. I thought maybe I could teach him some stuff. Oh, boy, wasn't that dumb. If I've learned anything over the years is that there's a lot of things that the man of God knows that nobody else knows. And on top of that, there's some things that the man of God knows that nobody else needs to know. And when I was in the military, you had to have a need to know. And if you didn't have a need to know, Brother Bill, you didn't get the information. there's some things down through the years, that people wonder about and scratch their head about. But you know what? We don't know everything that the man of God knows. And so we have to trust him that he'll follow God and do what God leads him to do. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been in other places. On deputation, we've been in a bunch of churches. I don't know, about over 130, isn't it? Over 130 churches. I've seen a lot of pastors. I've been to pastor school up in when Jack Hiles was living, and thousands of pastors there. I've seen them. I've seen all kinds. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you folks here at Gateway Baptist Church, you have a real man of God. And you ought to thank God for him. And you ought to hold the rope of pastoral leadership. I don't know of another pastor that loves his people any more than Ray Stewart does. I don't know of a pastor that loves people, period. I'm talking about loves people, period, than Preacher Ray Stewart. And we need to hold the ropes of pastoral leadership. Get behind him. And these deacons do. Thank God for every one of you deacons. I mean, some of the best deacons in any church in the land. Thank God for you. Good, godly men. Oh, praise God for you. I thank God for you. Just keep holding on to those ropes. I guarantee you, some of these deacons down through the years, the devil's told them, said, why don't you just, you can go ahead and just let go of your rope and go somewhere else. But I'm glad you didn't do it. I'm glad you held on to that rope. Deacon, you're never out of the fight. Never, never, never out of the fight. If Lou Gehrig can play baseball with broken hands, you can serve God even when you're hurting. Pastoral leadership. Number three, I think we need to hold the rope of participation. Participation. Hey, there is nothing sadder than to go in a church this size to a missions conference, and I've been there, and Alan Barker was doing the preaching. Now, Alan Barker's a good preacher. I mean, you'd think a crowd would show up to hear him preach. I was there in that church this size with Alan Barker doing the preaching and the Mayo family doing the singing. Now, you'd have to pay $25 to get that. And I'll be honest with you, it was sad. There were so few people there. I don't know how many was there. But it was just, I don't think it'd be enough to fill up one section of this church. And my heart broke for that pastor, that man of God. All those people that laid out of church, you know what they did? Said, I'm not going to hold my rope. I'm going to stay home tonight and watch whatever they watch now. I don't know what's on, or I'm going to go. I noticed down here at the school they're practicing football now on Sunday. Preachers used to fuss about them practicing on Wednesday night. Now they're doing it on Sunday. I tell you, that's a shame. And as a child of God and a member of Gateway Baptist Church, you have an obligation to hold the rope of participation. You ought to do something. There's something around here that you can do. You ought to get involved. Now, don't sit back and say, well, they just don't never let me do nothing. Well, grab a broom or grab one of them things and clean one of them commodes out. There's something for you to do. Pull weeds out here. I mean, there's something. Get busy. Hold the rope of participation. I guarantee you that'll make you a better pastor. That'll make Preacher Stewart a better pastor if he sees, hey, you know what? Preachers don't like preaching to empty pews. They like preaching to live human being, blood pumping through them. And just like a choir leader, I don't like leading choir to empty chairs. I like to have a choir full. And, bring me your lame. Bring me your blind. Bring me your deaf. You know, just give me somebody with some blood flowing through them. Participate. Get involved. Get involved. Hold the rope of participation. And then Preacher Stewart mentioned this morning, but holding the rope of the payment for the man of God. And I thank you, Gateway Baptist Church, for taking care of your pastor. And I thank you for taking care of Brother Tim. And I thank you for taking care of Brother Mark. In the years that I served here, I thank you for taking care of me. And I thank you for what you do now for me and my family. You support us. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that with all my heart. You folks helped me buy a house when I was here as assistant pastor. I lived in a nice house. I mean, y'all took good care of me. And I appreciate you taking care of the man of God. And the Bible teaches us to do that. 1 Corinthians 9:14 says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And so we need to hold the ropes for the payment of the man of God. And then if you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Beginning in verse number 17. Notice what it said. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, I know Preacher Stewart is a student of the Word of God. And I also know that I've heard him preach on things in the Bible that he didn't dodge it. He plowed through it. It might have been a controversial text of Scripture. But he didn't do like the commentators do. You know, you come across those controversial Scriptures and you want to go find out what somebody else had to say about it. And so you go and you pull your commentary off the shelf and you look up that particular verse and they just conveniently went around it. Now, Preacher Stewart might not have known what he was talking about, but he plowed right on through it anyway. Hey, I appreciate that, don't you? Dr. Seidler said when he was an old man, he said, I've preached everything I know and some things I ain't sure about. And I think Preacher Stewart's probably reached that stage in his life. He's preached everything he knows, told every story. Thank God, I'm glad that dog didn't drown when you was trying to baptize him. Them tree huggers will be after you today if you preach that today. You might need to lay off that story for a while, Preacher Stewart. These animal rights people, you know, they care more about a flea than they do a baby. Yeah. Thank you. Amen, Brother Ben. Okay. Says he's worthy of double honor. And it said, let the elders that rule well. Word elder is bishop, pastor, same word, that rule well. And I believe everybody here that has been here any length of time can say that you've got a man of God that has ruled well. And so he ought to be took care of. Now notice it said there in verse number 19, that's my next rope is the protection for the man of God. Hold the rope of protection for the man of God. Now that has to do with loyalty. Being loyal. Look at verse number 19. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. As a member of Gateway Baptist Church and a child of the King, you have a responsibility to protect your pastor. Don't let nobody talk bad about him. If you're going to talk bad about him, you better not do it around me. Now, I'm not a violent person now. God's people have never been violent people, and not in any way am I condoning violence. Now, when I make that statement, when I say don't do it around me, what I'm saying when I say that is I'll ask you kindly not to do that around me, and then I'll pick up the phone and call him and tell him what you said, give him your name and tell him what you said. So. Don't do that. Don't do that around me. Don't call me on the phone and complain about something. Please don't do that, because I will embarrass you. I promise you. You won't be the first one either. Okay? Verse 20. Them that sin rebuke for all, others may fear. I got Bible on that. Right there. Them that sin rebuke for all, the others also may fear. So, I believe we need to hold the rope of protection for the man of God. Your children need to respect the man of God. Your children don't need to hear you having preacher for dinner or supper. Because they need to respect the man of God. They need to hold him in high esteem. My children have never heard me say anything negative about a man of God. And you'll be wise, parents, not to talk negative about the man of God around your children. Because one of these days, your children might need to pick up the phone and call somebody that they got confidence in. This old boy here wants my children to love that man of God so that when they want to get some help, they know where to come. They can have confidence in him. We need to hold the rope for the protection of the man of God. And then the last one tonight, if you will, turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And I hope I haven't gone too long tonight. But I pray that God will bless this to our hearts. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And beginning in verse number 10. In fact, this is a recipe for loving life and seeing good days. If you want to love life and see good days, then this is what you need to do right here. But the last rope that we need to hold for the man of God is the rope of personal soul winning. We need to hold the rope of personal soul winning. Do you think all this crowd of people just showed up one day? Boom, there they were. 200 in Sunday school. Praise God. And you think they just showed up here one day? Do you realize where you're sitting tonight? There's some folks here that remember when this was the parking lot. You realize tonight that there's some people sitting here tonight that remember, now not me, I don't remember this, but there's some of you that do. They remember that this was a kudzu field. All it was just a kudzu field. No buildings here at all. And then God put a group of people together that really didn't have any direction until God sent them a man of God to lead them in the right direction. And over the years, the fellowship building was built. And then this building was built, $1 million building. million-dollar building. And then the fellowship building was added on to. And then the what we call, the old-timers call, the orange building, because it had orange carpet in it. We renovated that and made that into a Sunday school building. And you think that just, all these people just showed up? No, no. But they were one to God, one at a time. Everybody that I'm seeing here tonight, one at a time, somebody invited you and you came and God spoke to your heart. Many of you got saved here. Many of you got saved either in the orange building or you got saved somewhere around this altar or you got saved in your home. Somebody from this church came to your home, opened up their Bible, and the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, and you got saved by the grace of God. And one by one, they started marching through those doors, preacher's tour. One by one, they came through those doors. One by one, as people invited people and people prayed for people and families got saved, whole families got saved and neighbors got saved and co-workers got saved and they marched in and all of a sudden, here we got this great number of people. Well, let us not forget what got us here. It was personal soul winning. Holding the rope of personal soul winning. Guess what's going to take us further? Guess what's going to build a building over in that lot? Preacher Stewart says, after I'm gone. Guess what's going to build the next building? It's people like you that will hold the ropes of personal soul winning. Because there's more people, there's more Mark Hills out there. There's more Jeff Wilsons out there. Jeff and Joe, was it Joe? Started coming and came on their own to church here and got saved. And now look, God's called him to preach and his family's going out to Arizona to start churches. It just has, it's one after one after, it's just one, just one. You know that song, Just One More Soul? Just one more soul. Hey, if just one more soul would walk down that aisle. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if somebody been listening to me preach and the Holy Spirit of God's been working on them and they realize they're lost tonight and they think about old Saul and how wicked he was and he didn't deserve to be saved. He ought to went to hell for what he did. But Jesus loved him and saved him, washed him in his precious blood, and made a new creature out of him. And they're sitting there tonight and they're thinking, I wonder if God can do that for me. You know what the answer is? Yes. There's people all over this building from all walks of life. I mean people from bad backgrounds. I remember, I better not go there. But I'm telling you, God saved them and changed them, and God can do the same thing for you. Personal soul winning. Look at verse number 10, 1 Peter chapter 3. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and notice this, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's personal soul winning right there. Be ready always to give an answer of the hope that lieth in you. You know what that's really saying? That's saying that your personal testimony, that there'll be somebody that'll say, hey, what is it that causes you to make it through that tough time that you're going through? What is it that helps you through that? and you can be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. You can say, well, I have strength from a source beyond myself. They say, oh, what? I said, I've got strength from a source beyond myself. Can you explain that a little bit better? Yeah, I changed fountains. I'm drinking from a fountain that'll never run dry. And they look at you kind of crazy and say, what kind of fountain are you drinking from? I'm drinking from the fountain of the water of life. Jesus, He's a water of life. He's springing up in me, and that's what gives me my joy that I have. Telling others about Jesus, holding the ropes of personal soul winning. Gateway Baptist Church will not and cannot continue without people that will be willing to hold the ropes of personal soul winning. Just tell somebody what Jesus did for you. There is nothing that excites a church more than somebody getting saved by the grace of God. I thank you for your attention tonight. I pray that God has spoken to your heart. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, boy, this would be a great night to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here tonight and you're holding the ropes, keep holding them. If something's happened and you've sort of let your rope slip just a little bit, why don't you get you a tighter grip tonight and hold the ropes. Hold the ropes. We're never out of the fight until the trumpet sounds. Like that song we sang this morning, we had a little fun with it, but it's a true song. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. Old Joshua told his family, he told him people, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's stand together as we pray. The musicians are coming. We'll hymn invitation, every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to turn the invitation over to the pastor. Let him close as the Lord leads him to do so. And you come, and folks are already coming to the altar. If you need to come, why don't you come as the pastor comes, and let him take the invitation and pray that the Holy Spirit of God will work in hearts and in lives. Grab a hold of a rope and hang on. God bless you.